will be speaking on Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So this scripture actually means a lot to me, because for this journey that he has for me, I know I'm not alone. And through this journey, he has given choices, different options, to prove that he is with you always. For me, he given choices to either give up friends and follow him, or take the friends and leave him behind. And I am standing here today to prove that I will follow in his plan always. And through this plan that he always has for us, we will follow in him, and he will be with us. But also on this journey, he has given me a question. Will we follow in what he has planned for us, or will we fall short in what we choose? So today, I made a promise and I made a choice. I will always follow him and do what I can in his name. And that's why I'm here to ask you today too. What will you choose? So for this journey, this is what I choose and this is what I will follow. And no, choices are not always easy. They're not always going to be the simplest ones. But through this path, he will be with you. God bless you.
Amen. Come on, let's give her another round of applause. God's raising up some preachers here in God's Anointed Now generation. Amen. Let's give it up for that skit. You know, just want to thank the high schoolers for putting in such hard work. I know that God's not just raising up young people with talent, but God's raising up young people who have a love for God. Amen? Amen. Well, first of all, I'd just like to thank Jesus Christ for my salvation. Of course, I'd like to thank Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara for allowing me to step behind this pulpit and for the gang to take over a Wednesday night. Come on, somebody. And of course, we'd love to thank Pastor Pat and Sister Shell for our gang, for being our gang pastors, our youth pastors, and in pouring in and investing in this generation. Amen? Amen. Well, can we dive right in the Word here tonight? I don't know about you, but there's just something about the Word of God that gets me excited. There's something about just reading what God has to say about our lives and Him leading us. So if you guys could turn to the book of Matthew, and if you guys could stand to your feet just for 1 second, just for the reading of the Word. We're going to open up in the book of Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 10. Tell your neighbor, amen, when you get there. Don't tell me, tell your neighbor. Amen. Well, the Word of God says, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? These are the Pharisees talking to Jesus, that they might accuse him. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Tell your neighbor, you're valuable. Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and it was restored and as whole as the other. Father God, Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, for your mercy. I thank you, Father, for your grace. I thank you, God, Lord, that, Father, you've rescued us. You've taken us out of some pretty bad situations, God, Lord. You've lifted us up. You've cleansed us. You've purified us, God, Lord. And I just pray, God, Lord, that you just speak to your people, God, that you just have your way, God, that, Father, you just create the atmosphere here today, God, Lord. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, oh, come on, you could do a little better than that. And everyone said, amen. You guys can be seated. So, I wanted to do a little reminiscing about when I first came to Victory Outreach. And I remember it was in the gang. It was in God's Anointed Now generation where I began to get a hold of God. It was in the gang where I learned how to preach. I have a funny story. I remember when I used to live in the discipleship home with Pastor Pat and Sister Shell. I think I was preaching a Friday. So that Thursday, I was just going over my notes. And I have this habit of where I'm reading my notes, and I'll just kind of preach to myself. And that's how I'll tell, like, oh, if this is good or not. Like, if I'll make my own altar call, then I know, okay, this is of the Lord. Amen. No, but I have this habit where I'll just be in the back room and I'll just be preaching the message to myself. And it looks kind of funny. I'll just be yelling, screaming, yelling at the walls, shondoing down, praying for Bella, their dog, you know, just practicing the message. And I remember one night I was in the back room. There's the living room, there's the kitchen, and then there's this, like, back room. And I was right there studying for my message. And I remember one night, like, Sister Shell came in, or she walked, and she saw me. And I was just like, and then I saw her, and I stopped. And I was like, you know, and it was kind of awkward because I was just kind of yelling at myself. And she's like, are you practicing preaching? And I'm like, yeah, I'm practicing preaching. But it was in God's Anointed Now generation where I learned how to get a hold of the Word of God, where I learned about my calling. It was in God's Anointed Now generation where I learned how to pray, where I learned how to read my Word, where I learned how to work with others. It was in the gang where I was able to grow. And I think about our family here as Victory Outreach. And I thought about, as I was reminiscing about what God was doing in my life in the gang, I started reminiscing about memories that have happened in the past. I remember times when we were doing a Operation Hope rally right there on Atrisco and Central, and all of a sudden the floodgates of heaven pour out and it just started raining on us. I remember we were holding the tarps over all the instruments and all the equipment. And I also remember a time, my very first Celebrate Christmas with the Homes. And when we came in and my cousin was in the home and we got to celebrate Christmas with the amazing men and women in our homes and let them know that we love them, let them know that we care about them. And I began to remember that my first time actually at Twilight Treasures. And I remember walking down Central and I really didn't know what to expect. But before I knew it, I just saw people ministering the Word of God and praying for hurting and lost people in our city. And it got me thinking that Victory Outreach, we're not just a group of people who come together in a building. We're not just a group of people who come out and hang out and come Wednesdays, Sundays, Fridays. But let me tell you something, my friend, we're family. We're a family here in Victory Outreach. We're not just somebody here who just comes here and goes later, but we're a family that comes. And I thank God that it's a principle here in Victory Outreach that we're family. Because let me tell you, the church isn't just a building, but it's us. It's you and I. The building isn't the church, but you and I. And this leads to a question I have for you. Now, you don't have to answer, but I want you to think about it. What is ministry? Now, I think if you think about that question, I'm pretty sure I could ask four or five different people here in the audience, what's ministry? And you guys will all come up with four or five different answers. And they'll all be good. And they'll all have something to do with maybe what is ministry and what we do here at the church. I remember, how many of you guys like this TV show called How I Met Your Mother? Or have you guys ever seen it? Well, that's actually like one of my favorite TV shows of all time. And I remember there was an episode where it's about a group of people who hang out every day and they just spend life living together. And there was an episode where somebody pointed out one of their flaws. And then all of a sudden, nobody noticed that flaw until somebody pointed it out. And throughout the episode, everybody just kind of pointed out everybody else's, oh, this person, she chews really loud. Or this person uses the word like every other sentence. Or this. It was things like that. And it's funny how as humans, as people, we sometimes choose not to see certain things. Especially when it comes to things closest to us. Now, if you don't believe me, think about when you first fell in love, married couples. When you first started dating someone, man, there were all kinds of flaws you probably overlooked. The way that brother dressed, maybe the way that sister talked to you. You just overlooked all these things. Why? Because it was close to us. It was special to us. Now, going back to my question, what is ministry? See, to me, ministry is very important to me. Ministry is a part of my life. And the many different answers that we may have here in this audience, and the many different answers that we may come up with, there may be something like ministry is serving God. Ministry is advancing God's kingdom. Ministry is getting into his word or preaching the gospel. Now, all those are very well. All those are great answers. But have we ever stopped to consider what the why behind every single one of those answers? Why do we preach the word of God? Why do we serve here in the church? Why do we do all those things? And the answer is people. So when I asked this question, what is ministry? I came up with the answer, ministry is people. See, ministry is people. Ministry isn't meeting after meeting after meeting. Ministry isn't showing up 2 hours before the event and leaving 2 hours after. Ministry is people. We see that in the life of Jesus. When he used to hang out with the disciples, he didn't just have a class. He didn't just have a small group of people who just showed up on a certain night and he talked to them. No, it was life on life. He brought the disciples with him. So ministry is people. All those things are important, but ministry is people. And we see here in this scripture that there are people who are hurting and there are people who are lost, like this man with the withered hand. And the problem we see here is that the Pharisees, they don't see the man, but they're just trying to trip Jesus up. So what my first point here tonight is, Jesus valued people. We see here in verse 10, it says, "And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath that they might accuse him?" See, recently I just got me and my fiance brand new cell phones. And you know, nowadays cell phones aren't cheap, right? So when we got our cell phones, we right away got screen protectors, we got cases. Why? Because we value these phones. Because we weren't just going to invest all this money in these phones just for it to have a cracked screen or break 2 or 3 days later. See, the things that we value, we care about. The things that we value, we put emphasis in. The things that we value are important to us. See, the things that we value, we invest, we give time, we give our attention to. And see, Jesus in this scripture, he demonstrates that he values people. Tell your neighbor, I value you. I value people. Tell your other neighbor, you're valuable. See, the Pharisees couldn't see that this man had a withered hand. Now, if you know anything about biblical times, what was going on here with this man with a withered hand, see, it's not like today. See, today if we saw maybe a man with a deformed hand or a leg or something, manners would say, let's not bring it up. Manners would say, let's not stare at it. Manners would say, let's not point it out or make fun of him or say anything like that. But back in biblical times, if you had a withered hand, people would say to you, man, your parents must have messed up so bad that God is punishing you now. So in actuality, imagine how this man felt. This man was hurting. This man was lost. This man was broken. And we see the Pharisees come in. They don't see any of those things. They don't see the hurt that he has to go through. They don't see the rejection that he has to go through. But instead, they go to Jesus and they try to trip him up. But Jesus values people. My friend here in Victory Outreach, we value people. Did you know that you're valuable? Tell your neighbor you're valuable. Tell your other neighbor you're valuable. See, we think about this saying, John 3:16, and it's talking about how for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And we say that scripture so many times over and over and over again. But I begin to think, do we really understand and know what it's saying? It's saying that God thinks you're so valuable. God thinks that you're so precious. God thinks that you're so worthy that he's going to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. See, the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, that moment when he gave up his life, it says that the veil was broken. And let me tell you, when that veil was broken, that means that we can come before the throne of God. We don't have to worry about our sin. We don't have to worry about our imperfections. We can just come before God. Why? Because you're valuable. We have to treat God's people like they're valuable. See, what Jesus right here was demonstrating is that people are more valuable than the Sabbath. People are more valuable than the Sabbath. My second point is, my first point was Jesus valued people. My second point you see in verse 11 is that Jesus put value on the people's hurt. It says right here, then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Now, some of you guys are looking at me like, what do you mean Jesus put value on our hurt? Has anybody here ever stubbed their toe? That hurts, right? Now, let's imagine that Cisco, right? He's walking down in the aisles or something, and then all of a sudden he stubs his toe on one of the chairs. And I just see him hopping there, and somebody goes up to him and says, oh, Cisco, are you okay? Cisco, why don't you sit down? What are you taking care of? I got it. Don't worry about it. Why don't you just rest? Now, doesn't it feel good to know that people care about you when you're hurt? See, Jesus was reversing the roles on the Pharisees. Now, some of you are wondering, like, well, how is Jesus reversing the roles? He's talking about, when I first read this scripture, I saw it for face value. I saw, okay, like, he's showing the Pharisees, like, he's flipping it on the Pharisees. Like, well, what if your sheep fell into a hole? Wouldn't you help him out on the Sabbath? Right? Well, I was looking deeper into it, and I thought about this. See, the Pharisees don't understand what it's like to have a withered hand. They don't understand what the pain that man would go through every day. They don't understand the rejection, the hurt. They don't understand those man's feelings. So Jesus, who was the Word, was a master communicator. I don't know about you, but if you're the Word, called the Word of God, then let me tell you, you're probably a master communicator. Being the master communicator that he is, he goes to the Pharisees and he says, you know what? If your sheep fell into a hole, wouldn't you help him out? In other words, he was saying, how would you feel if your hand was withered? You wouldn't care about the Sabbath. You wouldn't care about the 100 laws that you set. You would just want me to come in and help you. See, that's what Jesus, he values people's hurt. He wanted the Pharisees to understand the pain that this man was going through. Jesus wanted to show the Pharisees empathy. See, empathy, if you don't know, will drive you to help hurting people. If you have empathy, man, if you have empathy for the lost and hurting drug addict on the street, if you have empathy for the single mother who's raising 3 children, if you have empathy for the dad who has no job and he is struggling to provide for his family, then let me tell you, that'll drive you to want to do something. Let me tell you, Victory Outreach, we're here called to reach the lost at any cost, and we need to have empathy because we're the ones who are there to be the light. See, we value people when they're hurting. We value people when they're hurting. If we didn't value people when they're hurting, man, we wouldn't have 2 homes where men and women could come if they were lost and hurting. If we didn't value people who were hurting, we wouldn't have every Friday night God's Anointed Now generation where young people who have to deal with addiction, who have to deal with broken homes could come. If we didn't value people's hurt, we wouldn't be here Wednesday, Thursday for Celebrate Recovery, Sunday for church. We wouldn't have life groups. We value people when they're hurting. See, pain, people suffering, that's a serious issue. There are people hurting every day. And let me ask you this question, what can we do to help them? Because I don't know about you, but we're Victory Outreach. We're on the front lines of the battlefield. We're right out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think that when somebody comes into this church, they're going to be worrying about the color of the lights? They're going to be worrying about what's on the background? No, they're here to see about Jesus. They're thinking, man, I want to hear about this Jesus that you're telling me about. We value people's pain more than the Sabbath. And my third point you see here in verse 13, it says, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it restored as whole as the other. See, Jesus valued the works of the ministry. So the first point, Jesus valued people. Then we go on to Jesus valued their hurt and pain. The third point is Jesus valued the works of the ministry. See, the Pharisees, back in that time, what they did was they created a whole bunch of laws that you had to observe on the Sabbath. They created all these laws. They created all these things that somebody had to follow on the Sabbath. But really, the Sabbath was created, the Bible says in Genesis that 6 days God made the earth. He made all these amazing things and it was good. But on the seventh day, he rested and it was the Sabbath. And it goes on any further that that's not just a day of rest, but that's a day for the people to focus on God. That's a day for the people to just get in the presence of God. See, the Pharisees created a bunch of laws so the people could observe the Sabbath. But Jesus created the Sabbath so a bunch of people could observe God. Have you ever been in the presence of God? Come on, raise your hand if you here have been in the presence of God. I hope that's everyone here today. See, when you're in the presence of God, things begin to happen in your life. Once you were lost, once you were broken, I remember my first altar call. I was just sitting here broken and crying. I was lost. I didn't know what was going on. When the presence of God hits the place, you begin to get healed. When the presence of God hits the place, you begin to get changed. When the presence of God hits the place, you begin to be more like Jesus. See, people begin to change. So what didn't you think that if the Sabbath or the ministry was created for people to be able to observe God, to be able to get in his presence, don't you think Victory Outreach, the church, should make every effort to get the people into his presence? See, Jesus values the work of the ministry. The problem we have, though, is that when the work of the ministry begins to take priority over the people the ministry was intended for, then we got a problem. See, Jesus valued people. That was important to him. Not how many people we have in our ministry, not how organized or planned we are, but people. He valued their hurt and their pain, and that's what drove him. The Bible says on many instances in the gospel that he had compassion. But thirdly, he valued the works of the ministry. It's important what we do, but we can't let lose sight of the why. We can't lose sight of the why we do what we do, because if we lose sight of the why we do what we do, then everything we do here at the church just begins to be another job. And when the things become just another job, that's when the power and the anointing begin to walk away. Because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that God's not going to bless somebody who just shows up because they feel like they have to. No, God wants to bless somebody who says there's a lost and hurting people in the city of Albuquerque, and I got to do whatever it takes to reach them. Because Jesus valued people. Are we a church that values people? Are we a church that values the hurt and loss? Are we a church that values the work of the ministry, but always puts people first? If Siobhan could come to the keyboard. I love this portion of scripture. And lately, I've been kind of going through one of those seasons where it's like, I just need to press into God like never before. Like where I was at isn't going to cut it for the next season that God wants me in. And I remember just pressing in and just saying, God, just speak to me. God, you know, what's going to happen in the gang? God, what's going to happen with our young people? God, what are we going to do for the next 50 years? God, what are we going to do in the gang here in Albuquerque for the next 30 years? Are we going to raise up leaders like our pastor wants? Are we going to do something? Are we going to take this city? And I remember God showed me this portion of scripture. And he began to say, Devin, yeah, you could have cool skits. You could have awesome worship. You could have videos. But if that stuff begins to take priority over the very same people that I've called you to reach, then we got a problem. See, Jesus wasn't like the Pharisees. He said, man, there's a man with a withered hand, and I'm going to heal him. We can't be that church. We can't be that church. Because we're Victory Outreach. And I don't know if you know this, but we're a ministry that's all around the world. I don't know if you know this, but we're a ministry that's been around for 50 years. And we got men's and women's recovery homes all over the place. We have churches where people who are lost and broken, we're getting restored. So, there's this story of this man. And as a child, he grew up very poor. He grew up in poverty. His dad didn't have a very well-paying job. His mom didn't work. She was sick. They barely had any food on the table. They didn't have nice things. They had a very small home. Didn't have a car. Didn't have a lot of the luxuries that most people had. And this boy decided that when he becomes a man, he's going to do better. He decided that he's going to get a job, he's going to work hard, and his kids are going to be better off than he was. He's going to have a bigger home. There's always going to be food on the table. He's going to have a car, his wife's going to have a car, and all three of his kids are going to have a car. So as he grew up, he decided to do this. And he began to work, and he began to work, and he began to work. And as he continued to work hard, he began to get promotions. He began to get raises. He was suddenly able to buy the big house. He was able to drive the nice car. He was able to buy all his kids the newest iPhones and the newest iPads and the iWatches and the iShoes, all the freshest clothes. And after a whole life of working, this man was 75 years old on his deathbed. And one day he woke up in the hospital and he opened his eyes to nobody there. He opened his eyes to a wife who divorced him years down the line. He opened his eyes to kids who were bitter towards him because, yeah, he bought them all the things they wanted, but he was never a father to them. And I think about this story, and I think about us as a church. Do we want to be a ministry where we put so much work and effort in the decorations? We put so much work and effort in the meetings, in the planning, in the all the aspects that go into a ministry, that we begin to forget about the very people of why we're doing it for. See, Jesus valued people. Victory Outreach was founded for people. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be somebody who sits before the throne room and I say, but God, we had the sickest skits. But God, we had the sickest decorations. But God, we built a stage. But God, we had park rallies. But God, we had hip-hop concerts. But God, we had all these things. But then God says, well, those are good. And those were used for my honor and glory. But you forgot about the people who you were supposed to reach. If we could all stand to our feet. It's kind of a hard message. But I really believe that Jesus valued people. That Jesus valued their hurts. And don't get me wrong, and I hope I didn't offend anybody, but Jesus also values the work of the ministry. But we can't forget why we do what we do. Because when those ministries become a priority over the people those ministries were created to serve, well, we got a problem. So I want to call an altar call. And if this message ministered to you in any way, and you may be wondering, you may be thinking, man, it's about the people. I know sometimes we get busy. Man, I've been in such a busy season. I leave work at 6:30 and get home at 11:30, 12. And I fall into that trap where it just becomes another job, where it just becomes another thing to do. But God checked me and he said, no, it's about the people. If this message ministered to you in any way and you may feel, man, I got to get back to that place where it's about the people. I got to get back to that place where I come before you, Lord, and I say, give me a heart for your people who are lost and broken. I want you to come to these altars.
I hear you call.